All right, thank you, Hector. Hope you know the symbolism there, the risen Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes for just a short little text there. Book of Ecclesiastes, if you can get over to the Psalms and keep on going over to your right, get through the Proverbs and get over into Ecclesiastes chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to begin reading probably around verse 7 down through about verse 12 of Ecclesiastes. I want to speak to you, to try to put a little title for the tape room up there. I'm going to speak to you on the unraveling. Anybody know what it is to see something that's been unraveled? Amen. Fact is, let me see here just a minute. How many of you knew the pulpit had a lid on it? This is a catch-all under here. I didn't build it. It was here when I came. All kind of stuff under here. Some tape. Cassette tapes. I bet they go back a long way. Some visitors' cards. Somebody's got a watch in here. Don't look like much. There's a revolver. Box of ammo. Switchblade. I'm playing with you some. Might even be a mouse trap under there. I was being a little careful. But I also come up with this. Now, folks, when you stay home and you say, I'm just going to listen to the radio, you cheat yourself. Sometimes we use something you need to see. It's a little piece of decoration rope. Everybody see it? It's beginning, though, to unravel. 1, 2, 3 strands unraveling. You fellas that ever had to work with a rope, it's a scary thing when you see it begin to unravel. If you're trusting it for anything and begins to unravel, it gets to be kind of scary, don't it? It means it's getting weaker. It means it's not going to be much good much longer. Anyway, folks at home on the radio, I found a little piece of rope in the pulpit. It's got 3 strands on it. And it's beginning to unravel. Look at it here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I said I might start at 7. Let's go on down to about verse 9. Verse 9, chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if 2 lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if 1 prevail against him, 2 shall withstand him. And here's my text. A 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. Now he says here, 2's better than 1, but he says if you got 3, that's going to be stronger. That's not going to be very easily broken if you've got 3 cords together. We get the point there, I think. When I was a kid, getting a mama's sewing thread. Any of you can remember that far back? I sure can. I remember getting in trouble over it sometime. But I remember what I'd do with it. I was trying to hook my goat to a cart. And I needed plow lines like Daddy had for the mules, but I didn't have any. So I'd take the sewing thread and put it together and twist it. You get enough of it, it'll work. Most of us understand that. 3 cords. 3 is talking about here that a 3-fold cord is not easily broken. Three is an unusual number. It's God's number, of course. It's a special. It's a special number. You know, you can't really contain things within two straight lines. You got to have a third one to at least close one end or the other. Three is a substantial number. It's a number that kind of passed the test. It's a number that fits so many things. For instance, you take time. We measure it three ways: past, present, and future, don't we? If you take the capabilities of a man, of a human capability, it starts with a thought, then it goes to a word, and then it moves to a deed three times. If you look in the scripture on a spiritual sense, the Trinity is three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if you look in the Bible, did you ever wonder when you read in the book of Revelation and other places where you see the angelic beings, the seraphims and the cherubims and so forth, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," three times. Holy for the Father, holy for the Son, holy for the Holy Spirit. They're recognizing that. In the Numbers 6, the last verses of chapter 6 of Numbers, you read what is called the divine benediction. It's tremendous if you think about it. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." That's the Father. It says, "The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee." That's the Son. Grace came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you read where the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's the Holy Spirit. God deals in this thing with three, and you can find it all the way through the Word of God. And so it's very important. So even a text like this in a book that is giving man's view as he lives under the sun. You got a man in the book of Ecclesiastes just trying to figure things out pretty much without having any spiritual insight from the Lord that much, even though it does say in the end, hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter, you know, to serve God and keep his commandments. Yet it's man's view, and that's why you'll read some things in the book of Ecclesiastes that you say, well, that's not quite right when it says live, be merry, live, drink, whatever. No, it's man's viewpoint that it's talking about. Yes. Without spiritual sight from God. And the truth is, when it says that a threefold cord here is not easily broken, we understand that. And I want to say to you today, as I look at our country, our problem is our threefold cord is being broken. I want you to let me make a little bit of an analogy here. I want to say that you can see three cords that's made America great, and they're unraveling. We're seeing it unravel today. One is the constitutional cord. You think about that. The rule of law. No man is supposed to be above the law, and yet this week in all the news, we saw that's not true anymore. Yeah. I think J. Edgar Hoover would be turned over in his grave right now. I think the FBI has been compromised. I see a double standard going, and it is an amazing, sad thing to see that, because most of us had confidence that the evidence would dictate the results, but it don't. It don't. I like the cartoon. I didn't like it. I hate it. It's true, but it is true. I saw the cartoon in the paper. And by the way, I'm going to give the Ledger credit this time. I'm generally against them. I call them the liberal Ledger. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes they get it right. And they got it right in an editorial this week as they spoke out against Hillary and the double standard that was promoted. They really did. This idea that, well, abuse the law here, 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 and here, but there was no intent. You caught that in the news, didn't you? No intent. It's sort of like if the policeman standing on the corner, he watches a mugger come out, he sees him shoot the guy, he sees him go over and get his billfold out of his pocket and leave, and somebody says, "Why didn't you arrest him?" He said, "I don't think his intent was bad." You say, "That's dumb." That's exactly what you saw. That's exactly what you saw in the news this week, and that's really too bad. Also in the ledger, and by the way, I'm going to recommend, most any time you see this fella, this judge, ex-judge, Andrew, Napolitano, I guess. Anyway, pretty good guy to have a name like that, amen? Joke it all aside. He writes this week about this thing, this judge. He says, these are questions that now beg for answers in light of what can only be politically motivated FBI report of the likely criminal behavior of Hillary Clinton. He goes on, these past 2 years, the Department of Justice has prosecuted a young sailor for sending a single selfie to his girlfriend that inadvertently showed a submarine sonar screen in its background. Do you understand what he said? He sent a picture to his girlfriend. He makes a selfie, whatever. Most of you folks know that. I don't, but most of you do. And behind him was a sonar screen, and this sailor got in a big trouble for sharing secrets with the enemy. So he was prosecuted. Then they prosecuted a Marine lieutenant who sent his military superiors a single email about the presence of an Al-Qaeda operative dressed as local police in a U.S. encampment. But his problem was he inadvertently used his Gmail instead of his secure government account. And he was prosecuted. Do you see the double standard that the judge is talking about? He says, why do we stand for this? And that's a good question. Then he lists General David Petraeus, and everybody knows about that. What Petraeus did was he gave to his girlfriend, by the way, she had clearance, but he gave to her his calendars. But the trouble was, on the other side of his calendar, there was some other matters that was considered secret. And we saw what happened to him. Then he says this, it is obvious that a different standard is being applied to Clinton that was applied to Petraeus and all the others. Now, folks, I'm saying to you that the unraveling of our strength is taking place. When our constitutional cord is being broken, being despised as it was, it is sad, it is amazing, it is too bad, but it's true. Being dismantled, being unraveled, that's what's happening to our rights. We talk about the Second Amendment. Yes, we fear that being taken. We fear the property rights, and oh boy, that's been gone a long time. The bird that lands in your tree got more rights than you that own the property that the tree grows on.
That's right.
And then speech. Man, they are taking away the freedom of speech, and a lot of what I am still speaking, one good thing about getting older, maybe I'll last and get it said before they get me. But it's going to come a time that you're not going to be able to go to a church where a preacher can tell it like it is, or it's going to be hate speech. And they're working on that in the legislatures of many of the states right now. And the attorney general that met with Clinton on the plane to work out a deal is going to make it illegal for you to tell the truth anymore. And it don't matter that the truth comes from the Word of God or the Constitution. That cord is being broken. Our freedom, our law, what we were built on as a nation is being torn down. That cord is being broken. Then I want to say, as a result of the constitutional cord going, we also see in the results in the fact that the character cord is broken. I'm talking about good character. America was built on good Christian character. Do you understand that? Did anybody ever hear the statement, somebody say to somebody, that's mighty Christian of you? Do you know that's pretty much forbidden speech right now? We moved to that, the character cord, and we're reaping from it. Our forefathers, and my wife joked at me last week because I messed up on whatever his name is, Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin, one of our forefathers. I called him Franklin Henry. That's the boy I graduated with. Forgive me. I got him right, I think, the second time I run by him, so I thought I'd do him a little more justice this morning. How many of you remember Ben Franklin? You remember what he said? He said, a penny Saved is a penny earned, remember? You remember he was kind of famous for a lot of inventions. In fact, you know, you've seen the picture of him flying a kite with a key on it and the lightning strike and all that. Well, he had a lot to do with some of that stuff. In fact, give credit to old Ben for negative and positive charges, for condensers, for batteries. Do you know he organized the first volunteer fire department in a city? Volunteer fire department. He done a lot of things. There's a hospital in Pennsylvania now. I think he was governor for Pennsylvania for a little bit. He lived to be 82 years old. Ben Franklin's quite a character. You ought to study. And God used him as one of our forefathers. And I like that to say some of those things about him, because we're losing that. He lived in the late 1700s and 82 years old, I guess. He said some good things that we've lost today when it comes to character. For instance, he said, "Search others for their virtues. Search thyself for vices." Pretty good. You'll like this one. "Keep your eyes open before marriage, and then keep them half shut afterwards." Ben Franklin said that. That'll work. That'll work, amen. But I think about the good character that built our country. I see the lack of it today. I see the lack of it in the media lies. While we had all this going on with Hillary and all the shootings, they were worried about whether the material in Donald Trump's cap came from China. Right. That's what the liberal media was worried about. That was the big news. Did it come from China? How about Hillary's doings? How about the rest of the bad stuff? But we got to know about that cap. And by the way, he put the Star of David on one of his advertisements. That must be anti-Semitic. You talk about junk, folks. You talk about deception. You talk about lying. We have moved to the place that character's not involved. It's who's got the most talent to lie the most is where we're at today. That cord is being broken. That cord is being destroyed. But good character, build America. Do you know the banks couldn't stay open if the majority of the people didn't have some honesty about them? And today, bank robbing is not happening as much with a gun as it is in cyberspace. And again, there's a lack of character going on. I could have a hand raising probably with all of you. I know it's true at my house, even though we've tried to say, we don't want to be on that list. We're on the no-call list. I get the junkiest, stupid calls over my telephone. They must think you're dumber than I am really am. I'm going to sell you sand in a desert, brother. One way or the other. It's crazy. No character if they can take you. I remember a lady calling some time back, and a fairly young voice, and her name was Anita. And this is Anita, and preacher, you've won this. And I knew I hadn't played nothing. How could I win it? I hadn't entered anything. How could I win it? So I let her go on and go on and go on. And she just built on this elaborate thing where I need to take a check to the bank to just pay off some expenses. And then I was going to get all this money. And I played old. My wife said I wasn't playing. But I played old on the phone best I could, which was pretty easy. And I played hard of hearing. My wife said, "I'm not playing again." But anyway, I let her spin the whole thing out. And finally I said, "Anita, do you believe in God?" "Oh, Mr. Carter, I believe in God." I said, "Do you believe God's going to send somebody to hell that tries to con old folks?" She felt like hanging up for some reason. Character's missing, folks. I mean, missing just everywhere you look. And we're hurting from it. In the old days, we had, history will tell you, and I mean, character built America. I think about it as far back as the Revolutionary War with George Washington. Now, by the way, there were slaves in England, and there were slaves in America, and still are all over lots of parts of the world. But there was slaves in the household of George Washington and others. And there was a faithful slave man, I can't remember his name right at the moment, but he often looked after, sort of like a personal butler, looked after George Washington himself. And so during the Revolutionary War, spying has always been part of war. Do you understand that? That's why the emails ought to have been protected. We don't know what Russia got and China got, but I guarantee you, if a little old hacker sitting in a schoolroom somewhere could get it, they should, could sure get it over there. But the spying's always been around. And this particular deal in the Revolutionary War, George Washington let his so-called black slave servant get captured by the Redcoats on purpose. And so guess what they did? They took him in and they put him to work just like George Washington was using him. That was George Washington's plan. So just like he waited on and was around the talk of George Washington, he was around the talk of Cornwallis. Look him up, you'll find out who he was, English general. Anyway, he was around, but at night he'd slip out and one of the other black servants would go back and tell George Washington what the plans were. And he was loyal to America even in the beginning. But the British thought, well, he's a slave. He wouldn't have any loyalty, so they didn't fear talking in front of him. But it helped George Washington to know the movement of the troops of Cornwallis. All right, you didn't need that history, but some of you need to know character runs deep in our history. Betsy Ross, the flag, we all know she made the American flag. What you might not know is in her house downstairs, the Redcoats was occupying her house. They allowed her her privacy in a bedroom, but what they didn't know was at night she pulled the American flag out from under the bed and sewed it during the night and put it back, as she still was loyal to America when it would have cost her probably her life had she been caught. That's the foundation we were built on. And so it hurts me to see the cord of character being ripped apart, being unraveled. You know, opposite of what we're seeing today in the street shootings, it's cowardly ambushes going on. No character. I learned as a kid it was a bad thing from the black and white westerns I watched. An ambush was a bad thing. Back shooting was a bad thing. And that's what we saw with the cops out in Dallas. I'm also going to say I'm not for the cops shooting somebody, and I think they probably done wrong and shooting a couple of people this week. I tell you what's wrong with the policemen. They're scared because they got a target on the back. And just any little old thing, and they're on the defense, and they overreact sometimes. But there's a big difference in that with a split-second decision and then somebody getting up in a building and purposely ambushing and shooting. Big difference. Help yourself. You can go to another church where you won't hear a thing like this. Character cord's been destroyed. Strength in a threefold cord. Now I want to say this. The strength of the first two cords I've mentioned is dependent on the third. And the third cord that's being broken is the cord of Christianity. It's been Christianity that's been the cement, the glue, that has helped our nation together. Our Constitution was founded on biblical principles. And somebody says, well, the Constitution don't have God in it. Yes, it does. It plainly says in the year of our Lord. And they knew who our Lord was. And Ben Franklin signed both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And he spoke of it. And the truth of the matter is, it was in the year of our Lord. And it's our Lord we need to get back to. And it's the cement and the foundation of Christianity that made this nation strong. And now we're seeing it unraveled. Unraveled everywhere we look. Just too bad. We're seeing Christianity under attack. President Obama recently, and I got the quote, so don't blame me. All I'm doing is saying what he said. Here it is, word for word. Let me read it. President Obama sees only good in Muslims in America. That's the head of it. February this year, he said, here's the quote, Muslim Americans can keep reaching out and sharing their faith to help more Americans understand Islam's tradition of peace, charity, and justice. Don't they get you? Don't believe the eyes. Don't believe the truth. This is a peaceful religion. What a joke. They can keep reaching out, sharing their faith to help more Americans understand Islam's tradition of peace, charity. You ought to go back and read that tradition. Head chopping all the way. And they're still doing the same thing today. That is their theology as well as their ideology. That's it. Now he goes on to say Americans of all faiths can reach out to their Muslim American neighbors, perhaps even visit the nearest mosque. I don't know, folks. It is pitiful. We were not built on such a false religion. Allah is not God Jehovah. Allah was a moon god coming out. You go back and study the whole thing. No way is that our Lord Jesus Christ in any kind of way. Lord Jesus Christ died for us. They're asking us to die for Allah. And there is a big, big difference there. Christianity has been our cord that has helped the others together. And as we see it unraveling, we're going to see the others follow. We are under attack on Christianity in America like never before, but it was the cord of Christ. You check history, the cord of Christ that's lifted civilizations. Ladies of all people, women ought to be thankful for Christianity. If you want to see what it would be without it, just look at the so-called Muslim faith. Just look at how they treat women, and you'll find out it's a big, big difference. The forced marriages, the mutilation, so-called circumcision of women, you ought to read that stuff, man. That's what they do. That's in their doctrines. And by the way, our president has been a champion of the gays, of the homosexuals, and yet Saudi Arabia and others have the death penalty every time they find out one. And while the president said, all the nations are in sympathy with the shooting in Orlando. No, they're not. Saudi Arabia's king never one time said he was in sympathy with it. A lot of them was patting their hands and their feet saying that was a good job by a Muslim warrior carrying out the will of Allah. Help yourself. But the cord of Christ is lifted. Civilization, and we're seeing it unraveling today, and we're reaping for it. We're reaping what has been sown, as we've seen the cords shredded. What's the answer, preacher? Coming back to God's truth, coming back and getting back the strength that our nation once had because we embraced Christianity and the truth. And we rose to the highest of civilization's very peak. You think about what happened in World War I and World War II, what America did. And you think about our strength. And it's terrible to see it unravel now. It's terrible. And we see the weakness, we see the results, we see the problems, and questions are being asked. What's happening? What's happening to civilization? What's happening to America? I'm just showing you what's happened. They've cut loose from the cement that held us, from the foundation of God, His laws, His principles, His word, and all the results, the hospitals we have, the compassionate to the rest of the world, all of that goes when Christianity goes. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the law of the jungle come back. We're seeing man's depraved nature at its worst, and it's no longer restrained by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel made the big difference. You check our history in the early years, you check the part churches played and preachers played in the foundation of this country. And right on up until World War II, people praying and asking God, and God intervened. That was a big thing, whether you know it or not, that happened. And what we're seeing today is God just pulling back, said, okay, If you want to break my cords, I'll let you go your own way. I'll let you reap for it. And that's what we're seeing. The gospel is the answer. I think about in the early days, what is called the Great Awakening in America, after America had gotten up there and began to slip a little bit, and back in the days of just before the Revolutionary War, and about in those times, there was a preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is well known in preacher history, but he was Presbyterian, but the only thing he needed to be was a Baptist, but he was pretty close. And Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon. He read the sermon. That's hard for us preachers to do, but he read it. He read it by pretty much candlelight. The old big wooden building was packed, and when he read it, the title of it was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And when he read it, the power of God began to come on a congregation, on a people in the community that had been astray and been kind of turning back from God. And it was during some of those days when the Age of Reason by Paine and others had been written and some of that time, but he began to read and he began to tell how, except by the mercy of God, all of them could drop into hell. And one of the things he said, the illustrations he gave, was sinners in the hands of an angry God. You're being held over hell by a thread. That thread is burning. God's judgment is about to let you fall into hell. And they say that it so touched the people that grown men were screaming out for mercy, that the pillars or the posts that held up the building, people were holding on to them because they thought they were falling into the lake of fire. And God's Spirit moved across that place, and there was a revival. It's later referred to as the Great Awakening because people got right with God. You know what we need in America? We need a Great Awakening. We need from folks to see that God is not going to forever in His mercy and in His grace, but in a real sense, a sinner without Christ right now is like a burning thread, is all that's holding him from falling into the pit. We need to get back to God. We need to get back quick. If we can, God is willing. But what I see as long as the good things keep happening, long as I've got money to spend, long as I got food to eat, long as I can have my pleasure and my fun, I'm not going to get right with God. And some of you in Radio Land, maybe in this building right now, you're saying the same thing in your heart. I've heard the gospel. I know Jesus loved me and died for me. And that preacher tells me I ought to be saved. And I plan to someday, but right now, not right now. I got things to do. I'm enjoying some things too much. I might have to quit a few things if I got saved. That's the image the devil is putting in a lot of people's mind. And that thread is burning. And your time may be up. You never know. Never know. One day, what another day will bring forth, you never know. I want to say to you that we're seeing a lot of things unravel we thought we would never see. How much is left? I don't know. It's unraveling pretty fast, I can tell you that. It's moving on down. I don't know how much rope is left. But I know God says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He don't say tomorrow. He don't say next year. He says now is the accepted time. I ask you this morning, where do you fit into all that? Where do you see yourself? How many times has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to you and said, come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you've said, no, not yet. I've got plenty of time. I'll wait. Things are unraveling. They're unraveling very fast. Your opportunity to be saved is unraveling. It'll come to the end one day. Would you be ready if it was today? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we've just tried to make a few things clear today. Father, I believe with all my heart that one day your mercy and your grace will be used up. One day, Father, that one that's put you off and put you off and put you off is going to come to a time there's no time left for them. I pray for the invitation right now, Father. I pray if there's any in this room today that's never received Christ, they'd come and receive him. I pray for those that ought to move a church membership, or maybe they've been saved, never baptized, never obeyed you, never been faithful to you. Lord, I pray you'd convict them that they'd see that time is not on their side. One day they're going to face you. I pray for our nation that's unraveling in front of our eyes. Every news report seems to get worse and worse, and people are wondering what's happening to civilization, wondering about man's inhumanity to man. Father, I see it myself, but knowing your word, I know what's happening, Lord. You let man go his own way. You let him reap what he's sown. I pray for our country. I pray for our leadership would get right with you. I pray for God's people to start at the grassroots and get back to you. Bless the invitation now, Father. It could start today right here with some folks getting right with you even this minute. May you have your way, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. I'm going to step to the front. Whatever God's asked you to do, we're going to sing a song of invitation. We invite you to come. If you're not saved, don't presume on God that you've got tomorrow. Don't presume that you've got a lot of time. You don't know. Whatever God's spoken to you about.